Hey everyone, this is Deborah Burton, your host for Solutions from Scripture, from the desk of a Christian consultant. Know better so you can do better. Welcome to the series, A Woman After God's Heart. Being intentional in our devotion to pursuing God during our lifelong Christian journey. Lesson 2, our behavior. Our behavior impacts our choices. Here's a few questions. How do we behave when doing our daily responsibilities? In a negative or positive way? How do we handle ourselves in various situations in a rude or polite mannerism? How do we conduct ourselves with our words, emotions, and reactions when dealing with people in a demeaning or respectful way? How do we choose to act because of our attitudes in a way that tears down or builds up? It's important to assess what is going on inside of us, within our hearts, our thoughts. This is because our hearts or thoughts will create our character. Our character directs the way we behave as we act out our choices. This can include how we speak to people, how we use our emotions, the way we react, and our attitudes while doing our choices. Please listen to my podcast, A Woman After God's Heart, Lesson 1, Beliefs. The three foundational and essential beliefs that are shared are what will guide us throughout our entire life. They are foundational in how we develop godly, reverent behavior, which is pleasing to God. So the goal is to pursue God's heart so we can have a heart change. Then we can have good behavior as we go about our daily lives, all for the glory of God. So let's get into lesson 2. Our behavior impacts our choices. 4 ways to behave or conduct ourselves as a woman that pursues the heart of God. The first way, be reverent in our behavior. Second way, be controlled with our words, emotions, and our impulses and passions. Third way, be pure. Be chaste, modest, and innocent, and not be carnal. Fourth way, be kind. First way to conduct ourselves is to be reverent in our behavior. Titus 2, verse 3, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior. And of course, this includes younger women as well. Titus 2, 3 is instructing women to be reverent in their behavior, in the way they behave in various situations, in the way they handle themselves during hardships or conflicts, in the way they conduct themselves as they go about their daily responsibilities in life, in the mannerisms they use in their relationships. A woman who has a reverent behavior is intentional about how she honors God in what she thinks, says, and does. She carefully assesses her emotions, attitude, and motives. This is because her goal to be a woman that pleases God and not herself in all aspects of her life and relationships. Biblically speaking, this type of lifestyle conforms to Scripture. So her life is transformed by Christ-like character, which is displayed in her daily behavior, whether it is in her relationships, priorities, responsibilities, job, ministry, hobbies. This includes in her own home all the way to holiday seasons and vacations. Whatever, her behavior is reverent and honors God regardless of what she is doing, who she is with, or where she is at. What is the biblical meaning of reverent? Reverence is defined as intense respect and awe for God, and thus acting accordingly. Hebrews 12, verse 28. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. Let's talk about older women teaching the younger women how to have reverent behavior. Titus 2, verses 3 through 4. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage or teach the young women how to be reverent in their behavior. This is only part of those verses. Age alone does not qualify a woman to teach biblically. Titus 2, verses 2 through 5, describes the behavior qualities necessary for an older woman to have in order to teach the younger women. The older woman is not perfect, but she is well seasoned in her experience of pursuing God and then faithfully following His ways, as shown through the several years of her life. In other words, those qualities are her lifestyle. An education, theological degree, or simply having biblical knowledge are not the requirements. Rather, what is essential is that she is mature in rightly dividing the word of truth so that she is well equipped to teach the scriptures. Not what her opinion is, but what God actually meant in the passages of Scripture. Knowledge about God's Word can include deceit, which is what we wouldn't want to be teaching the younger women. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, be diligent, study to show yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Note, this does not mean it's a bad thing if a woman has an education of some type in biblical knowledge. Rather, it means it is not a requirement to have it. The requirement is that she can teach accurately from the Bible, and along with that, she is an actual doer of the word as seen through her reverent behavior over a period of time. It's like saying the proof is in the pudding, or as some would say, the proof is in the eating of the pudding. This old expression means the value or quality of something, such as what the older woman teaches, must be based on her faithfulness to God throughout many experiences and trials. It doesn't mean she did everything right, but it does mean she learned right lessons from her wrongs. It doesn't mean she experienced every sin known to mankind. Sometimes experience is watching the lives of others and learning what not to do as we watch the consequences from ungodly choices. So we could say the proof is in watching others eat the pudding. There doesn't seem to be an exact age for this. I've heard it starts at around 50 to 60 years of age because now she has had so many experiences and proved how she faithfully walks in God's ways. But some younger women have many wonderful, wise things to share to encourage others in their faith. Just a note, many women think they don't have the gift to teach, but this is not about giftedness or ability to teach. It's not about our comfort or confidence level, because it's not about us. It's all about God and honoring Him as we help other women to grow in the Word of God and the ways and wisdom of God in life and relationships. There are many ways to encourage others, such as one-on-one discipleship or mentoring, or facilitating a Bible study, or being involved in a small group with a variety of ages and backgrounds of women. Second way to conduct ourselves is to be self-controlled. Titus 2 verse 5, to be reverent in behavior, to be self-controlled in the English Standard Version, to be sensible in the New American Standard, to be discreet in the New King James. Self-controlled, sensible, and discreet basically mean the same thing, which is to be sound in mind. This means a sound mind has self-control. A self-controlled woman is sober-minded, which means she is focused and motivated to handle herself with integrity and godliness with her words, emotions, and impulses. Let's look at those three areas. First, self-control over our words. We have all possibly, if not most likely, been the person who did not have control over belting out our opinion or saying something we should not have said with no filter or thought of the consequence of our words. This is different from speaking the truth in love. Ephesians 4, verse 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. Speaking our mind with no filter and giving unnecessary opinions is different than speaking God's mind, His opinions and viewpoints based on Scripture with the right tone and in the right timing. This does not mean it's always wrong to share our opinion. It simply means we need to use discernment when doing so. The Bible is clear about having self-control with our tongue. To be a woman after God's heart, we need to learn to have reverent behavior in the choices we make with how we use our mouth. Let's look at these verses. Proverbs 10, verse 14, a wise man holds his tongue, but a fool blurts out his folly. James 1, verse 19, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Ephesians 4, verse 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear it. These verses are telling us to think before we speak, listen more, and talk less, and consider the impact of our words. Please listen to my podcast on the tongue series, where I go into detail on how we should and should not communicate according to the Word of God. Second is self-control over our emotions. We have all possibly, if not most likely, been the person who hasn't had self-control over our emotions. Allowing our emotions to control us is something God warns us about. A woman with reverent behavior has self-control over her emotions because she has learned things can go quickly sideways if she does not deal with her emotions in a beneficial way. The balance is we can and should at times let others know what we are feeling and why. It's just that we don't want to be out of control when we express our feelings. We can be firm in talking about our emotions when necessary, but not without some sort of boundaries in how we do this. Proverbs 25, verse 28, a man without self-control is like a city broken and left without walls. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control Against such things there is no law. Now, just note, emotions are not necessarily wrong. Rather, it is how we deal with our emotions. To be a woman after God's heart, we need to learn to have reverent behavior in the choices we make with how to deal with our emotions. Third, self-control over impulses and passions. Impulse control is never easy. All of us struggle with overcoming sinful impulses. Part of the human condition is to feel impulses, and part of the Christian life is to control them. James 1 verse 14, each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed with the impulse or passion. An example, Eve saw that the fruit was desirable in Genesis 3 verse 6. She chose to take it rather than control her impulse to do what God didn't want her to do. Often, impulses or passions seem so strong as to overpower us. We feel that giving in is our only option. Some examples are overeating or overconsumption of alcohol, impulsive spending to overbuy, giving in to sexual desires, blurting out any thoughts that come to our minds, the impulse to have emotional outbursts, lying or exaggerating, interrupting during conversations, stealing or being dishonest. These impulsive behaviors act out a passion or pleasure without thinking about the consequences. Some passions and impulses need to be immediately stopped, such as adultery or other sexual sins or anything that is abusive or harmful to us or others. As believers, we will struggle with our own personal passions and impulses. The key is to never give up by constantly giving in. No matter how many times we fall and fail, we keep asking God for His strength as we learn to let go and hold on to self-control. We are in the process of sanctification, which means the more we pursue the heart of God, His word, His wisdom, and His ways, the more we will be able to walk with reverent behavior and self-control. Ephesians 3 verse 20, "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us." As we learn to say no to our sinful impulses, we may experience a sense of deprivation. Yet we trust the promise of Hebrews 12, verse 11. "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." To be a woman after God's heart, we need to learn to have reverent behavior in the choices we make with what we do about our impulses and passions. The third way to conduct ourselves is to be pure. Titus 2:5, to be reverent in their behavior. To be pure, New American Standard and English Standard Version, and to be chaste, New King James Version. Let's look at the meaning of five words: pure, chaste, modest, innocent, and to not be carnal, which all signify a reverent spirit. In Titus 2:5, the word pure means, Matthew 5:8, Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." So the Greek word for pure means to be clean, blameless, unstained from guilt. This refers specifically to us being purified by going through the fiery trials of life, and also to be pruned of our worldliness and sinful behavior, to be cut off as we continually repent and are sanctified. This is how we become more Christ-like in our character, so we can bear eternal godly fruit. being pure in heart means having a singleness of heart toward God in all we do as we walk away from worldliness, self-centeredness, and sinfulness. The only way we can be pure in heart is to give our lives to Jesus and ask Him to do a cleansing work in us. And we also ask God to create pure hearts in us. Psalm 51, verse 10, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Chaste. In Titus 2, verse 5, the word chaste means to be free from lewd or salacious thoughts, desires, or acts. The word salacious means lustful and lewd, obscene and grossly indecent. It also implies refraining from acts that are not sanctioned by marriage vows. Modest. In Titus 2:5, the word modest means the word that is translated into the English word modesty is based on the Greek word for shame and disgrace. So don't act in such a way that is shameful and disgraceful in word or action or in any other way that would be considered shameful. This is an indication that modesty is a form of humility. Modesty is not showing off or placing attention on oneself. Innocent. In Titus 2:5, innocent means living a life with integrity and morality. This is particular in the context of a woman who should be free from immoral behavior. Thus, she conducts herself in a way that reflects well on the Christian faith, not bringing shame upon the Word of God through her actions. To not be carnal. This is translated from a Greek word which literally means fleshly. The Bible is clear that no one is sinless, but we do not remain carnal or fleshly or in that sin for a lifetime. God's desire in saving us is that we would become increasingly spiritual and decreasingly carnal by progressively growing closer to the image of Christ. This is known as sanctification. It doesn't happen overnight, but it does happen. There will be outbreaks of carnality because of our sinful nature, but for a genuine believer in Christ, these outbreaks of carnality will be the exception, not the rule, such as being prideful or angry or judgmental at times. Romans 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Just because we are forgiven does not mean we misuse this by proceeding to live the rest of our lives in a completely carnal manner with no evidence of being born again or being a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. So in a nutshell, a woman after God's heart has reverent behavior by being pure in heart, chaste, modest, innocent of immorality, and is not carnal or worldly by continuing in a sinful lifestyle. This is not about perfection, but rather it's about progression through the power of the sanctifying work of God and the Holy Spirit and by what Christ did on the cross for us. This is not about guilt or fear or thinking we must be perfect without any struggles with sin. Rather, it is about intentionally being aware of the presence of God every day so we can walk with His wisdom and in His ways. The fourth way to conduct ourselves is to be kind. Kindness is different than niceness. It goes deeper. It's a genuine reflection of a heart that pursues the heart of God. Titus 2:5, to be reverent in the behavior, to be kind. To be good is in the New King James Version. To be kind and good means to have a good nature. To be caring, compassionate, concerned, and considerate. To be gentle, sensitive, and tender-hearted. To be pleasant, agreeable, joyful, and happy. To be thoughtful and helpful. To be attentive and affectionate. It also means to be upright and admirable. What does it mean that love is kind? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Whatever we attempt to do in our lives should not be without love. Living a life of love is marked by kindness. The two go together. Godly love will make a person kinder. No one can be loving and unkind at the same time. What does God say about being kind? Ephesians 4, verse 32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Luke 6, verse 35. But love your enemies and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Let's recap. Four ways to behave or conduct ourselves as a woman that pursues the heart of God. First way, be reverent in our behavior. Second way, be self-controlled with our words, with our emotions, with our impulses and passions. Third way, be pure by being chaste, modest, innocent, and by not being carnal. The fourth way, be kind. So glad we could spend time together thinking about how God wants us to behave or conduct ourselves in ways that truly please Him. Remember, it's not about perfection, but rather about progression. Be encouraged that God continually helps us to grow in the character of Christ. Please subscribe and share with others, and consider leaving a review so others can know and love God's Word. Together, we're learning the difficult topics and the encouraging ones. It's all about God's Word. Know it, live it, and share it. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever.